I have eyes that see.
I have ears that work.
And my heart does perceive. You're not talking just to the neighbor.
You're not talking just to the neighbor.
You're talking to me. I want to go to 1 Peter tonight because he took me there this morning. And he bounced a couple of words into me to awaken us about the Almighty Father that started this whole ballgame. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Being aware that we talked about this is the day that the Lord has made. There's not going to be another one like it. Tomorrow's going to be different. And the day after that will be different as well. But this one is unique because you'll never live it again. And tonight, I want to kind of press in verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father? Just kind of close your eyes right now and digest that one. I have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now I want you to repeat it to yourself and say, I have been chosen
according to the foreknowledge of God,
my Father. Yeah.
I have been chosen.
Yeah. Catching on? According to the foreknowledge of God. Now I'm going to back it up. Verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. God's elect are those that are chosen. Because the scripture says many are chosen, many are called, but few are chosen. Right? The next verse is kind of weird. But it describes where you've been many times. Strangers in the world. To God's elect, strangers in the world. Scattered throughout the United States, including Chicopee, Alabama, New York, Asia, Bithynia. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. But it's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. The sprinkling and the sprinkling of his blood. There's enough ammunition in that little tiny section to keep on going for an hour. Easy. Just to take that in and to take it and digest it, that it's for you. Don't think you're going to be obedient to Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. They work together. You're not going to be able to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ without consistently aware that his blood is sprinkling over you consistently. It's an ongoing work, a progressive work. Verse 3. I'm skipping grace and peace be yours in abundance. I think you've already got that part. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, kept in heaven for me. kept in heaven for me, who through faith are shielded by the by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. There's a revelation there that's yet to come. You see, 2,000 years we've been walking around living in hopes to die to get to heaven. I'm hoping for the opposite. I'm hoping to live life and heaven come down.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's time that heaven rules now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And they don't mean one word of what they've said. And they've been crying it out for thousands of years. And it's such a habit, they don't even realize what heaven can be on earth every day by the Holy Spirit. The foreknowledge of God is where he really was pushing me. And I want to take you to take a little bit of a peek and to see a little deeper than what you think you know. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. In case you forgot, that's the prince of the powers of the air and all of his cohorts. Verse 7. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Before time began. In other words, it's the same message as St. Peter. Foreknowledge. The glory of God is involved in all of us because God had already predestined us. And I could go on, but I want you to skip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse 28. And this word for me became a life-giving scripture whenever troubles came in all kinds of ways in my life. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, not as to according to your choices, but according to his purpose. He's got a plan. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Foreknowledge? Is it clear enough? For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So whose plan was it for sonship? Papa's on the job. He's had a vision. He's going to carry it out. And he's going to carry you and me right into that vision. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Notice it's he that does the calling. Those he called, he also justified. Notice it's justified by him, not by you scrubbing yourself clean. Or taking three baths in the same day, thinking that you're going to clean up your little act, whatever that is. He also justified, and he justified Those he justified, he also glorifies. You say, you mean there's a future for me? Yes! Glorification. When he decides to glorify you and me, it's going to shatter many people's opinion of me. Why? Because you're not going to act like you used to act or react like you used to react. You're going to see that new creation come to life in your own heart and in your reactions to people. Because when you are free to be obedient, he's already prepared the path for you.
Amen.
Because he had foreknowledge of you. You see, most of Christianity is a works program. And as soon as you step off that works program, they start condemning. They start finding fault. And when you take on the guilt, you just listen to the enemy. And you fell for the lie. So don't blame Adam and Eve for falling for the lie, because you do the same. Eve is listening to the serpent. And he says to her, if you want to be like God. And if you back it up a few verses, you'll see that God made Adam and Eve in the image of himself. So they're already like God. The liar comes and says, you want to be like God? Listen to me. How many have listened to many wonderful preachers and you want to be like them until you realize what they are? You don't want to be like me. Good heavens. Then you'll pick up my mistakes. I don't want you to have my mistakes. I want you to be like the one who lives in me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And boy, do I know how many mistakes I make, because you see, the accuser's on my case just like he's on yours. So if you think I got my act together, I do to a degree. I'm better than I used to be.
Amen.
I'm not where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for me realizing that he had foreknowledge of me, that he actually called me, that he justified me, and that he's also going to glorify me. When is that glory going to hit?
As soon as we receive it.
By choice. By choice. When you and I decide to let him glorify you, he is going to do it.
Amen.
Without believing you have received and no faith, you're never going to get it. But when your mouth starts declaring, what you see is not your future. What God has already prepared is your future.
Amen.
And he's got plans for you. To bless you, to glorify you, to make you into an eternal son, just like the firstborn. Yeah. And you can walk on death and keep on trucking.
Amen.
You say, whoa, ooh, that might be religious. I'll tell you what. When you look at Jesus and you say, I want to die, you're insulting him. Why did he choose to go to the cross? Why did he come out of the grave? So that you can enter? To make room for you and me? He glorified the grave, yes. But his intention was that people would not buy the lie anymore. The lie is, oh, everybody's got to die. Well, you've got Enoch to put up with, and you've got Elijah to put up with, and you've got Jesus who died but resurrected. So what am I saying? That glorification is God sending down a little, what did you call your vision with the little wires and the lightning bolt? One lightning bolt from Papa, and your whole body is glorified.
Charge.
Huh?
Charge.
Current.
Charged.
Charged, yes. Charged.
Charged.
Okay. If you look at Jesus with his glorified body, what have you got? You've got light flowing through his veins. When my wife was hit with cancer, and they told us the future, we told them the future.
Amen.
And it wasn't a match to their opinion. And I can remember being quite angry with the Lord, wanting to have a different path to walk in. I really did. I'm not happy. I wasn't. So, I said, Lord, they're going to give her chemotherapy. Because she made the decisions. She looked at me and said, what do you think? I said, I'm not thinking. There is no way I'm thinking. Because can you imagine the ammunition I would have given her? Whatever opinion I would have given, she would have given what? It's your fault. Uh-uh. You make the decision, dear. I'll follow. In this case, it's your body. So she made the decision. We're going to do 6 months of chemo. And so I got nosy. I have a nose problem sometimes. Got nosy, wanted to know what they were going to put in her veins. I learned, to my surprise, that it was called liquid light. Liquid light entering her veins. Whoa. That's not bad. That's good stuff. Right? Liquid light. So obviously we went through 5 months of liquid light once a month. What liquid light did, it knocked her out for 3 days. She couldn't get out of the bed. She'd make it to the bathroom and sometimes needed help. And we'd come back. And to show you miracles, she had done 5 months and she was supposed to do 6 months. So she goes for blood work. Every time you turn around, you have to go for more blood work. And this is December, first week of December. The doctor says, your blood is so low, Irene, I'm sorry, but there's no way we're going to have to just skip a month. And oh, and she was looking forward to have this thing done before Christmas. She's got all her shopping lists. She's got all her things to do. And she's human, as you know. So long story short, we go to church on Sunday night. The church guy who's running the service doesn't know anything about us except he's been praying for us. We walk in a little bit late and he says, go sit on the piano bench, the two of you. I thought we were, you know, creating a problem, but it was God who was preparing. He knew nothing because I had said nothing to anybody. He comes over with a bottle of oil and he says, I anoint you, Irene, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I command your blood levels to be readjusted for God's glory. And that's the end of that. And he looked at me and he says, and you're in agreement, right? And that was Roby Moore. And I said, yes. 2 days later, she goes back for more blood work. The doctor says, this is surprising. Your blood is so perfect, it's better than before you started chemo 6 months ago. Can God heal?
Yes.
Does he choose what you can survive with?
Yes.
Could she have believed differently?
Yes.
Could have. But she was only able to receive what she was capable of doing. And that's when my grandson was a baby. And that's 33 years ago. What am I saying to you? Don't give up on God. He has predestined for you to live.
Amen.
Amen.
Not to die. He has already justified you. Give him a chance to glorify you.
Amen.
Now I want you to find a pair of eyes. Just one set of eyes. Look straight at them and say, I'm giving you good news tonight.
Good news.
You've already been saved.
You've already
received healing. It's about time you know that you're justified. Wait. God's going to glorify you. If you stick with me, you've got it made.